Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's robnunphoto.com. SEL is proud to be sponsored by GoToMeeting from Citrix and is a member of the Tech Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at techpodcasts.com. Now, on with the show. Hi and welcome to SEL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com and this is my little audio and video diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a great photography week. I've been off work this week. I've been fantastic. Been out and about with Suzanne. Spending a lot of our time down the allotments. Digging it all over. We hadn't really done much with it over the winter at all, so as you can imagine, there's lots and lots of different things that needed doing. And if you remember last week, I talked about the fact that my back was playing a bit. I managed to damage it just before I went on holiday, but it kind of sorted itself out by Monday and Tuesday, so we've had quite a few days down there doing a few hours every day, sort of tidying up, doing a lot of digging. And finally today, on the last day of my holiday, we've kind of managed to finish off. We've probably got two beds to go, but we managed to finish off the existing beds and put the black matting over them, so they'll be okay till when we start to actually sow some seeds and some young plants as well. I might behave a little bit oddly in this podcast, and if you're listening to the audio stream, you might think, oh, what's going on? Well, I'm actually recording this one on video as well. So I'm going to have a go at attempt at editing that and uploading it to YouTube. So we've got the audio podcast and then we'll have the video podcast as well. Because believe it or not, there's quite a few subscribers to the YouTube channel now as well. Not nearly as many as they are to the podcast, but there's still quite a few. So I thought it might be interesting to throw it up there, see what the reaction is and do it that way. I'll try and edit in some photos and things, but as ever with me, time is always at a premium, so I tend to do things quite quickly and do it that way. Anyway, so it's Sunday, went to the car boot this morning, didn't really find anything apart from some batteries for a camera that I got yesterday. We have this little second-hand kind of shop. It's a bit like, I don't know, I don't like to use the word junk shop, but it's not really an antique shop. It's just down there about 50 yards, and there's always sorts of little bits in there and old cameras and things, lots of other stuff. But what I actually managed to get yesterday was a couple of things. First thing was a couple of packets of Super 8 film. This is Kodak Ektachrome 160 color movie film, which, as you can imagine, I was well excited because I've talked about this in the past. This is the Minolta XL401 Super 8 camera that I got for a fiver from a car boot sale a long time ago. That is an absolutely smashing piece of kit, really fantastic, mint condition. But film's quite expensive and I haven't really got the finances at the moment to get any. So when John said to me, oh, I've got some film, you know, do you want to have a look at it? I went, oh, what is it? Expecting to see some 35mm, and it's actually Kodak Ektachrome. I was like, oh, it's Super 8 cartridge. Excellent, I'll take that and try it. Loaded it into the XL401 Super 8 film camera and I shot with it yesterday. But what I also did was contacted a Super 8 developer in the UK, because this film actually expired in January 1978, so it's pretty old to say the least, and I was a bit concerned, was it actually worth shooting it? And developing Super 8 film isn't cheap either, and I got a reply back saying actually you're probably better off throwing it in the bin, because the chemicals you need to process Ektachrome 160 aren't available anymore, so you'd have to develop it as black and white film anyway, and there's probably only be a very dim image. So a bit of a disappointment that, but you know, hey ho, We'll see what comes up next time. What was more interesting from John's was I got this little camera, the Olympus XA2, which is a development from the Olympus Trip 35, a camera that I go on about all the time. You know, I consider the Olympus Trip 35 one of the best cameras of all time, mainly because of the fact that it's always ready to go. You don't need any batteries for it. You just put some film in, you can leave it in your car glove compartment, you can leave it in your drawer, you just get it out, and because of the selenium cell in it, it uses that to power the mechanics that set the aperture to do the metering. So all you've got to do is use the zone focusing to say, right, you know, I'm 1 meter away, 1.5, 3 or infinity, and then the camera takes the shot. But you know, Olympus couldn't carry on making cameras like that all the time, and so the XA series of cameras came out. Now the XA, instead of being shiny aluminium and black plastic, are all black plastic, so it looks like a very modern film camera, if that's not an oxymoron. It's got a nice black body, it's got the Olympus clamshell design, so it doesn't need a cover. It's like a bigger version of a Mew 2 or a Stylus Epic. This camera was a long time before those, but they have a very good reputation on the internet. If you look up XA, XA 2, 3 and 4, I think the XA 1 was a bit just one up from a disposable camera, but the XA 2, if you see any of those, definitely get one. And it's another zone focusing camera. It's a bit of a funny mismatch actually, because it's runs off a couple of button cell batteries, LR44s, I think, which is what I got today from the car boot sale. And that handles the metering. And the advantage it has over the Trip 35 is the fact that it can meter, I think it goes up to a thousandth of a second, but it also can go up to about 10 seconds as well, so it can do a lot more long exposures, because the Trip 35 automatic metering is limited to a 40th of a second and a 1/125th of a second, so you can't do really sort of longer exposures. The XA2's got a 35mm 3.5 maximum aperture lens. It can also go from ISO 25 up to ISO 800, but the Trip 35's is limited to ISO 400, so that's nice. And it has a little lever here that you probably won't be able to see, but if you're watching the video, but it's a zone focusing one again, so you've got, you know, picture of a couple of people's heads, their whole body, and then some mountains for the infinity. So you've got this odd match of a camera that looks pretty modern for a film camera, that uses a zone focusing, which you have to set yourself, and you have to manually wind it on. It did come with a funky little flash as well that attaches to the side, which I haven't got with me at the moment. But that doesn't seem to work. I read in a couple of forums that they can have dodgy contacts, so maybe I'll clean up the contacts. But so far, I've done some test shots today. It seemed like a very nice camera to use, nice and lightweight. I always love these clamshell designs, because it means you don't have to worry about scratching the lens and you don't need a pesky case. It does have a really feather-like trigger, though. I'll see. Shall I demo it? Let's wind it on. Let's take a picture of the camera. But it's incredibly. I'll put it near the mic, so maybe you can. There we go. You hear the click click, because that was a longer exposure. But it's got like this red shutter button on the top that literally you press your finger down on it very lightly, and it will fire the shutter. So you've got watch out for that. But looking forward to finishing off the roll of. I think I've got put some Kodak ASA ISO 200 films in there, so they should come out nice. And if I concentrate on nice sunny days like we had today, that should take some very nice photos indeed. Now, as usual at SEL, we've got a sponsor, and this week's sponsor is GoToMeeting. Now, we all know that being able to attach a face to a name is really important. It enhances our relationships and the way we do business. But unfortunately, meeting all your clients and colleagues in person can be impossible. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face from anywhere in the world. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in group HD video. Imagine teleconferencing, where not only can you see the other person's laptop screen, but you can also see their faces as well and listen to them. You can see your attendees eye to eye while collaborating on documents in real time. You'll feel instantly connected, even if you're thousands of miles apart. Plus, GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and simple to use. We used it in our meetings here when we were setting up the sponsorship deal with GoToMeeting this time. All the people in the Tech Podcast community got to go on a HD Faces conference call, and it was really good, really effective. I mean, I've spoken to Todd Cochran, the guy who runs Tech Podcasts, a lot via email, but actually seeing his face and talking to him in person was much, much better. So start hosting your own face-to-face meetings online today with GoToMeeting. And anybody who listens to the podcast or watches the video on YouTube can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait. Go for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. And make sure you use that promo code PODCAST. So visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Thanks a lot to GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SEL Photography Podcast. Now, so this week, been down the allotment a lot, and as ever, leading the photography life, one of the things I like to do is always try and take as many photographs as I can. So one of the things I've been doing is taking lots of photos down the allotment. But it can be quite challenging after a while because your plot's in the same place, there's no plants really to take interesting photographs at the moment. There's even in the summer, actually, there's not that many flowers or anything like that. There's quite a lot of wildlife, so that's good. But it can appear that a lot of the stuff is the same. So what I've been doing is using my mobile phone, my little HTC Desire, and trying to concentrate on getting very close to different subjects. And what I'll do is I'll put a link in the show notes so you can have a look at some of the photos I've taken. Lots of people seem to really like them, so that's really nice. And I've also been burning through quite a lot of black and white film in the Trip 35. I've been doing a test on Kodak BW400CN film, which is Kodak C41 film. What that means is you can shoot black and white, but the film gets developed in the same processes as colour film, so you can take it to an ordinary lab, whether that like Boots or Jessop's or whatever that is in other parts of the world, and they'll put it in with all the colour stuff, and instead of getting colour prints back, you get black and white prints and a scan back if you want, which is really nice. So it's really simple, you don't have to worry about trying to develop it yourself. And it'd be interesting to compare BW400CN, the Kodak C41 film, with the Ilford XP Super 400, I think it is, the one that I've used a lot of as well. Now, the main thing I want to talk about this week's podcast was conquering fear. Because yesterday afternoon, after we've been down the allotment for a few hours, I had some time off in the afternoon, and it was about 4 o'clock, and I thought, right, there's this area of Gosport called Rauna, which probably sort of 30 years ago was kind of built up with lots of married quarters for the military, the navy and things, and lots of council estates, and I'm sure at the time it was really nice. But over the years, because of the type of buildings they were, they become very dilapidated. It became known as quite a rough area as well. And in particular, there's an area of it that's made up of these big tower, well, not huge tower blocks, but large tower blocks in like grid patterns. And I remember going there a couple of years ago to drop something off for one of the jobs I was working for. And it was like being in an episode of the Bill, if you know the UK, or like a cop show. You know, walked in, there was these flats with all these balconies, and all these people were kind of looking down at you, thinking, yeah, who are these people? And it was quite a weird place. But they've been knocking all this down and building nice houses along there as well. So I took my trusty 350D Digital Rebel XT with the 18-55 lens and the 55-250 lens. I thought, right, I'm going to go down there and shoot the last bit, because the diggers are there, they're knocking it down, and I wanted to get some photos before I went. And again, I've already put the photos up on Flickr, so I'll put a link in the show notes at robnownphoto.com so you can have a look at them. And what I'll try to do with the video is, as I'm talking, I'll be putting them over the top. So I parked my car in the car park for Tesco's, which is a little convenience store just near it, and then kind of started walking up towards these blocks of flats. It was a Sunday afternoon, so I knew there wouldn't be workers there. There'd probably be some security guards. I wasn't planning on breaking in and doing anything like that, but just to do it. But again, it's traditionally been an area of Gosport that is seen as a little bit rough. And going out in the afternoon in places like that isn't always... I don't always feel that comfortable because there tends to be lots of people around as well. And in today's climate, you always feel nervous as a photographer wandering around taking photos because people are a lot more suspicious these days. When they see someone with a camera, they probably think you're up to no good. Or that's what I think people think. So I prefer to shoot, earlier on in the day. Or I prefer to shoot if I'm out and about with Suzanne and Oliver as well, because it kind of gives you, you're out and about with your family and you're taking photos as well. So as I walked there and got a little bit closer, I was getting more nervous. And then you kind of get outside and I could see they were knocking it down. And so I took some pictures outside looking in. But there was quite a lot of shadow on the sun was on the wrong side of the building. So I thought, so I was getting frustrated because I wanted a setup picture. I wanted a wide picture. So I went round the side and sort of snapped away. Got into one of the corners and took some high pictures up as well to give you an idea of the context of where I was. And you could actually get quite close as well. So there was this old entrance that said residents only that's all boarded up. So I took some photos of that. And also of, you could get quite close to the ground floor flats as well. So I took some photos of some entrances. And there's one with a number plaque still on it. And I thought that was quite motive, to the fact that you had this big monolithic block of flats that was being knocked down. But this was a place where people lived, and in fact lots of people still do live there, because I was quite surprised when I went round the back, you could see all these things like washing was still out on the line, so they haven't moved everybody out. So I was walking along and I was thinking, I feel a little bit, I was gaining in confidence, but I still felt a little bit nervous. And then I got round the corner. Now I knew that there's like car park, or there used to be like a car park underneath the flats. And as I was walking around the corner, and you'll see this if you have a look at the photos, there's this one bit where you've got like the flats on the top, and there's like this road that goes down underneath them. And I looked down this little road, and you could see sunshine underneath, so I knew that they were knocking something down behind. And I got to that point where I was like, do I go down there? It's a rough part of town. It's late afternoon on a Sunday. Doesn't appear there's anybody around, but who would be down there? And there was probably no danger at all, but I had this fear. I thought, right, am I going to do it, or am I going to carry on walking around the corner and go somewhere else? But I said, no, I've got to do it. I've got to go and have a look. So I walked down this ramp, went underneath the flats, and it was like this car park that was open. And the flats were all above you, but you could see through to where they were knocking down the other part. And there was a couple of cars parked down there, which I thought was a bit odd, and they weren't abandoned cars. And then there was this black cat sitting on one of the loading bays looking at me, and I was like, this is a bit eerie. It was dead quiet. All you could hear was the sound of my footsteps as they were echoing around. But as I got in there were some barriers, but they gave me a really good view of the back of the flats, and the sunshine was shining really well on the back of the building, so I took some photos on there, and I took some interior shots as well, which was nice. And felt really confident and really glad that I'd done it. So then I came out and walked up and went around the corner a little bit, but the flats there were still fully occupied, and I didn't really fancy it. I took a few photos, but there was nothing special there, nothing that really caught my eye. There was a bridge on the way back that I took some photos of, my usual thing, going for angles. And diagonals and things like that. I really like that. And also to kind of give the impression that one of the photos I took underneath, there was a sign that said no exit. And it kind of... One of the complaints of lots of the people who lived there was the fact that it was almost like... it was the place of last resort to live in Gosport. It used to be like that. I mean, it's really nice now, but it was like that. And you got the feeling that once you were there, that was it. You weren't going anywhere else. And yet there was this bridge that was leading out of the flats that leads now to these new houses that have been built that are really very nice indeed. And I thought that was, again, kind of like an allegory, trying to tell a story with my photograph doing that. So very good. But anyway, head on over to robnunphoto.com and click on the link to go to Flickr, or you might even have seen them already on over on Flickr. I was really proud of myself, the fact that I'd done it. I'd conquered this silly, irrational fear I had of going down there. And also the fact that I've managed to capture some images of this iconic building complex before it gets knocked down. Because there's always, you know, we can always say, oh, I'll go tomorrow, or I'll go another day. But chances are, by the end of the week, you know, that stuff isn't going to be there anymore. So, you know, I've done it. I can tick that off. And, yeah, I'm glad I did. So, if you've got something that you're nervous about, I mean, you've got a way, some places are dangerous to go to, you know. But if maybe it's a little bit irrational, go there with a friend, tell people where you're going, go there and do it, because you'll feel really good about it afterwards. Now, remember, we've still got a couple of days left on the Winter Where I Live photo assignment, and there's also the threads over on Flickr for the new ideas. So have a look for the robnunphoto.com group on Flickr and put some ideas for photo assignments you'd like for March in there, and then we'll start one of those next month. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do the music for the podcast. You can find their music for free download actually at everydayjones.com. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast or watching the video on YouTube. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.